You're listening to
Greetings, one and all. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 334. I apologize for not having a show last week. I had a really crazy week at work and just did not have the time to sit down and record. But I'm going to go ahead and make up for that right now by giving you some nice, fresh content. I'm going to talk about Fringe this week because, well, I love Fringe and it's kind of what I do on this show. And I'm going to have some new DVD releases and maybe a little bit of news. Now, this has been the summer of movies. So many good movies coming out. So many things that I want to see. Love them or hate them. There's a lot of movies out there. I know because I went to see Iron Man 3, and then I saw and heard all the fanboys crying and bitching and moaning about it after the fact. Oh, you know, it's too much like the comic. It's not enough like the comic. It's too real. It's not real enough. Blah, 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 blah. Nobody's ever happy. I saw Iron Man 3. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. Yeah, there's things about it that I wish were a little bit different. I'm not sure how I would have made it different. But for those of you that haven't seen it and have low or high expectations, if you stop and look at Iron Man 3 as a trilogy, it all makes sense. Beginning, middle, end. It all makes sense. And I really enjoyed that. I guess, you know, part of when I saw it and part of my trepidation after the film was that they make it seem like that's all that there's going to be. You know, if you look at it as a trilogy, then that's all there's going to be. Trying to fit a fourth one in, there's not going to, doesn't really work with this story. But you look at it as a chapter and it's like, okay, well, this is like, you know, you have three chapters. This is book one. And then we're going to start book two where things kind of change up. But I enjoyed it. Had a lot of humor in it, which I really liked. Had a lot of action at the end. Lots of different armor. I just enjoyed the heck out of it. And I'm not saying it's my favorite. I'm not saying it's my least favorite. I'm just saying that it was a movie. I went, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I will buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out. So that's, you know, if I'm buying it, you know, after I've already seen it, then that's saying something for me. And I will definitely be picking up a copy of that. Let's see what else we have. You know, of course we have, you know, my big, the two big films that I've been waiting for. And you know, I am so psyched for Superman, for Man of Steel, that I can't take it. I hope it's half decent, but I am just so incredibly psyched for that film. But of course, you know, Trek is what everybody's talking about. And I know some people have already been able to see it. I'm not exactly sure what that's all about. But it is being, it opens here tonight. They have a showing, but it's not a midnight showing, so I'm not going to be able to go. So I'm planning on going to see it on Monday. And I cannot wait. Again, I know that some people have been sending some mixed reviews in for this. It's funny, you would think that all the fanboyishness would be over, but even people that are going to see the new one who like it are ragging on the old series. People who like the old series are ragging on the movies. I don't understand. Why can't we just all just go and enjoy the films? I mean, I like it. I like Trek. It's another incarnation of Trek as far as I'm concerned. And it's, you know, I like it. You know, I like the original series the best, but I like this as well too. And I cannot wait to go and check it out. I'm going to try to fit in reading the prequel comics, the prequel to this movie. There's four issues and I have them. I just have not had time to read them. And so hopefully on Monday, some time will allow me to sit down and read through those. So to kind of prep me for the movie a little bit. World War Z novelist says the movie kept his title and that's it. That's all I got to read of that, because if you've seen the trailer for them, if you've read the book, World War Z was a great book. If you see a trailer for the movie, it looks absolutely nothing at all like the film. Doesn't, or like the book. Doesn't mean the film's going to be bad. It just means that, you know, they took the title and they bought the rights and they did it. The guy got his money. So let's stop complaining about it. And it is what it is. And you know, that's that, you know. Let's see. We have, I see that Doctor Who, they inadvertently shipped the DVDs for the mid-season finale, and people got the DVDs before the mid, they'll get them this week before the finale airs, and of course, BBC issued a statement asking them to keep it quiet, and there's some sort of reward involved where they'll release some more clips of the Doctors if they do that. I'm not sure, you know, as a fan of Doctor Who, well, yeah, I mean, haven't really been a fan of it for the last year, but as, you know, somebody who enjoys Doctor Who, and if you got those, wouldn't that kind of, that's just kind of burning a hole in your pocket, right? It's like, would you be able to sit on it and not, you know, and not talk about the finale, or, you know, would you have to talk to your friends or post it somewhere? I don't know. I would say that I would never post it somewhere, but I would definitely talk to my friends about the finale if they were interested. But that'd be a hard thing to do. You're getting something that nobody else in the world has seen other than the creators behind the show, and that'd be a big secret to try to keep, you know. And talk about a screwing up in shipping. Wow, somebody's gonna catch some hell for that, for sending those out early. The finale of Arrow was this week, and I watched it last night, and I gotta say, man, I really dig it. There's been a couple of slow episodes of Arrow. I mean, I've liked Arrow from the beginning, but there's been a couple of slow episodes where I just was having trouble getting into it. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed it, it just seemed like it was going nowhere. And the last couple episodes has had some buildup, and we had some great payoff at the end of this season. And I can see it's setting a lot of things up for next season, and I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with that. Arrow has been a big hit for me and for a lot of my friends who have been, you know, enjoying it as well and commenting on it. And they've done it right. You know, it seems as though we have a pretty decent mix of the romance and the action, but it's got some great action and some great fight scenes, and I'm really enjoying that, the way that they put that together. I mean, I'm not sure how much time they spend on putting these fight scenes together, but they seem to work really well. I think part of it is a lot of times during the fight scenes, you know, the people are masked or hooded, and maybe they have stunt people come in to do those. I'm not quite sure, but I've been really enjoying it, and like I said, even with the slow episodes, I mean, it's still the first season, but we can definitely... If you're even remotely familiar with the comic, you can see some of those aspects being set up for season two, and I can't wait for that. You know, it's kind of funny. It was one of those shows that I ended up waiting until the next day during the middle of the season to see, but the last three or four episodes have kind of been must-see for me, and I'm really digging that. Vampire Diaries is going to end tomorrow. I have not watched like the last six or seven episodes. I'm going to get caught up on that. I'm trying to think, maybe I'm just going to watch the last two and kind of know what's going on. As much as I like Vampire Diaries, some of the romance has really been dragging the show down for me. It just gets drug along. It's too slow. I don't want to talk about my feelings. I want to talk about vampire politics. That's what I like about the show. So hopefully we'll get back to that. They usually do it during the season finale. They usually do drop a bombshell and then spend the next season trying to resolve that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And let's see what else we have. You know, I've been watching Defiance. Great show. Really enjoying that. What's funny about Defiance is all the sci-fi tropes are there. Every episode that they've done, I've seen a million times in other science fiction. Even with that being said, I still like the show. I just really enjoy it. And that just goes to show you the people that say, oh, well, this has been done before, blah, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't really matter as long as you have good characters. And that's what the show has become about the characters and whether you can form some kind of connection with them doing what they're doing. This is kind of becoming like the complain about the fanboy kind of episode, isn't it? And I don't mean for it to be. I get tired of hearing all these things over and over again. Nobody wants to give anything a chance. You know, everybody wants to complain about every little thing. And what cracks me up is the people that complain about these things, you look at them and say, well, what would you have done? And they don't know. They just know that they don't like it, or they have a problem with this, they have a problem with that. And it just seems like the small problems end up being a big deal for them. And I don't know. It's been the Iron Man 3 rhetoric that's been going around, and nobody has been able to explain to me what they didn't like about it. They just know that they hated the movie, and, you know, should have had this, should have had that, should have had this, but they really can't explain, you know, what it is that they wanted to see. And everybody's entitled to their opinion, don't get me wrong, but explain to me in a coherent way why you did not like the film. What was it about it that made this film the worst film ever, that you're so upset about it, you know? And the same thing with Defiance. I get tired of people complaining about, oh, you know, you've seen all these things before. Well, yeah, it's science fiction. Of course we've seen it all before. I mean, it's, you know, hey, it is what it is, right? Anyhow, so we have all that. And I have to tell you something else, too, is I did not care. I was starting to just really not care at all about Revolution. And I know that it has had a lot of problems. But the last couple of episodes have really been kind of upped everything a little bit, and I'm starting to really get back into it. It seems as though we're getting to a point where technology is a little bit more advanced than we were first led to believe. And I like that slant on everything. And with that, I think it makes the show a little bit more interesting. And of course, Warehouse 13 is back. And I am very excited about that. I've been enjoying that. A great couple of episodes. And that is a show that is has so much good stuff going on. But man, the characters are what bring that show to life for sure. And they've done a really good job with dealing with the events of last season. And I don't want to give anything away, but how the characters are reacting to that. I'm really, I was quite taken with the last couple of episodes, really enjoying that. Anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing on, you know, as far as television is concerned, just a lot of good stuff. And we have this huge summer of movies here. I cannot wait for Star Trek. I'll get excited after my work week's over, and then I'll start to get really pumped up to go see it. And then also Man of Steel is still something that, we're getting little clips here and there. And different mixes of the TV trailer and stuff like that. And the more I see it, the more excited I get, because it seems like they're finally going to do one where they're going to get away from all the stuff that we're used to seeing over and over again. And there is, you know, how many hundreds of issues of comic books, you know, how many, it's been got to be a couple thousand books Superman has appeared in that they've had good stories. And why can't we take one of those? And it seems like somebody's finally kind of taking it in a new direction. And I'm pretty excited. I bought a magazine for the first time, an entertainment magazine for the first time in a long time. They had Entertainment Weekly, had the movie special magazine. And there was a couple movies in there my daughter was just interested in. So I picked it up, and it also had Superman on the front. And of course you get to see a really good look at the costume and everything. And I like it. I know some people aren't going to like it. I know people are going to be complaining about it. Just start complaining now about how it's blah, 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 blah. But you know, I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. And speaking of Superman, of course, DC Comics released their direct to DVD animation, Superman Unbound, which deals with the Brainiac story. Really enjoyed that. Liked the animation. Loved the voice acting. It seems as though some of the Superman ones are kind of lame. Like, I know a lot of people like Superman versus the Elite. I was not a fan of that. I just felt that, there was a great fight in the end, but it was just, I don't know. It really did not grab me. That was probably one of my least favorites, but, Superman Unbound does a great Brainiac story, and in the comic, it also leads up to one of my favorite Superman runs, which is New Krypton, where the Brainiac storyline goes into the Krypton storyline, where we get New Krypton on Earth, and we see you have a whole bunch of super people, and they finally go get their own planet or whatever, and so they all have powers, and so Superman's not special there, and it's just a really good storyline. I really enjoyed it. And then maybe you want to go read that again, which I will go do at some point in time. But I've been reading so much Valiant and so much Xenoscope comics that I have been there's not enough hours a day for all the reading I want to do. I just Valiant still can do no wrong. I mean, I'm loving everything they're putting out. I will say that the Harbinger Wars number one, which is basically an event for the most part for the Valiant universe, which isn't, you know, it's not like an event like in the Marvel DC universe. Valiant, you know, only has like, you know, maybe six or eight titles, but, or they will. But it is just that, it was kind of slow, 'cause it's kind of an info dump. And, I want to read number two to see how things pick up, but everything else, I mean, Bloodshot and, Exo Man of War and Archer and Armstrong and, my God, I can't even think of it. There's not even many titles and I cannot remember all of them, but, I mean, I'm loving those, or Harbinger. And, I mean, I love all those titles. I am just really enjoying the heck out of Valiant. As far as I'm concerned, they can do no wrong at this point. They've just done a fantastic job with their stories. Anyhow,
this week in DVDs.
If you live in the U.S., I would be remiss if I did not mention last week that Cloud Atlas came out, and that's the biggest sci-fi one that they have, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, because I have not seen it yet, but it seems like it's right up my alley as far as science fiction is concerned. But for the 21st, if you live in the U.S., you're going to get The Last Stand, which is the Schwarzenegger film. You're going to get Parker, which is has Jason Statham in it, and that is based on the Parker novels. I mean, I haven't heard great things about it, but again, it just because it shares a title doesn't mean it's going to be exactly like the book. If you want it to be exactly like the book, go read the freaking book. Okay. We're also going to get Howl's Moving Castle on Blu-ray, which is a great story. You're going to get Captain America. And this is the Captain America of, I can't remember what the year was, 1990 or something like that. And I actually enjoyed this film. And at the time, it was such a big deal that they had a Marvel film with him wearing the real Captain America costume and had the Red Skull in it and things like that. I remember liking this film. I know it gets a lot of hate, but I remember being so excited that it was actually the guy looked like Captain America and kind of followed the origin. So that's making a Blu-ray release. I'm not sure how good the transfer to Blu-ray is going to be, but anyway, it's out there. True Blood Season 5 is going to be available. Teen Wolf Season 2. Again, a show that's actually pretty darn good, the Teen Wolf show. I mean, I get tired of the let's talk about our feelings and hold hands and lovey-dovey crap, and I would like more action and you know, blood and guts, but that's just me. Public Enemy is getting a Blu-ray release starring Cagney, and I'm curious how good of a release they're going to do. Public Enemy and White Heat are two of my favorite films from him, and the Blu-ray, that's got to look pristine because, I mean, man, you know, it looked good on DVD, so I can only imagine what they're going to do with it on Blu-ray. And that seems to be about it. I don't see anything else coming out that's really sci-fi related or cool or catches my eye. Can't really say sci-fi related because a lot of DVDs they give you, nothing to do with sci-fi, just stuff that I happen to like. If you live in the UK, you're going to get the Django Unchained. You're going to get a gazillion versions of this, the regular, the DVD UV copy, the Blu-ray UV copy, the Steelbook. If you want a version of this, it's going to be available. True Blood Season 5 is also going to be available for you. The Blu-ray is going to be region free, which is kind of funny. Also, you're going to get the True Blood Season 1 through 5 box set is going to be available. Here's a movie that I had to go and look at the link because they changed the cover of it. But this is a movie that is so cheesy, but man, that I love it. And that is Motel Hell. Couldn't find this thing on DVD for the longest time. And then suddenly it started popping up on AMC, the monster thing that they have at Halloween. Motel Hell. And see right here, it's going to be available on Blu-ray. And it has a date of 2013, which isn't when this movie was made. But Motel Hell is a cheesy movie from like 30 years ago. But what I like best about it is the guy that he's the middle, this motel in the middle of nowhere, and they're known for selling beef jerky. Well, of course, you know, 15 minutes into the film, you realize the beef jerky is people, you know, and that's what he's doing. But the way everything shakes out, it has the best ending line everywhere, you know, and he's like, what does he say? He says like, I'm a liar or I'm a fraud. And as the guy's dying, they're like, what? He's like, I'm a fraud. He's like, I use preservatives. And then he dies. And I just love that line. And that is like the film. Can't remember much else of it, but I can remember that an ending line. It's always stuck with me. And I actually had that on my DVR from the Monster Fest because I couldn't find that on DVD anywhere and I wanted to see it again. So it's just a very cheesy film. I'm not sure if it's worth a buy, but it is... it is definitely worth a look. And that seems to be about it. If you live in the UK, I don't see a whole lot of other science fiction coming your way. You have a lot of stuff coming out, but not a lot of sci-fi. So anyway, so there's that. And, with all that being said, let's just jump right into the Fringe episode and, you know, I'll be back. Episode 18 from Season 1. The title is Midnight. It originally aired on April 28th, 2009. Two victims have turned up with injuries to the back of their neck. And injuries is, when you see it, is an understatement. He did a very good job with this because rather than making it uber gross, you know, and really getting into it. They just kind of, there's like some blood and some massive meat kind of on the back of their neck. So something's going after, it looks like the spinal column. And there are two, they discover two bodies. Since there are two bodies, Fringe Division is called in because they're not quite sure what's going on. Now, this episode is, again, this is an interesting episode that can be kind of a one and done, except for it ties into the ZFT storyline that, you know, basically ZFT is the organization. I want to say organization of scientists, but not really. But there's another. It's an organization that's doing all this crazy stuff that we've come across in the past, and so it kind of ties into that. But even if you don't know that, again, if you want to experience Fringe, and you don't want to get invested in the series, I don't know why you wouldn't. But if time is limited, say, and this is one of those episodes that you can watch and enjoy. Anyway, the first clip I have is of them investigating the crime scene.
His name was Bob Dunn. He was 33 years old. His girlfriend got back from a business trip in Portland. Couldn't reach him. She found him here. We confirmed her trip. No forced entry. No witnesses.
So this matched the victim that Boston PD found two nights ago at the pier?
The one that's been all over the news?
Yeah. They don't know what to make of it. So now they have another one. Now it's ours to make some of.
You know what this reminds me of, Peter?
No, but I'm going to guess it's something unbelievably disgusting.
Shrimp cocktail. You see, shrimp must be deveined by putting a shallow cut down the back to expose the vein, which, in fact, is not a vein at all, but the crustacean's intestinal tract.
Great. Thanks for that. Another food stuff I can cross off the menu for life. Hey, are you okay?
What?
Well, you're awfully quiet on the car ride over here, and you just don't seem your normal chipper self at a bloody gruesome crime scene.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm, it's just home stuff.
Well, I know from home stuff. I live with the guy inspecting a severed spine.
This is fascinating.
These
appear to be bite marks. See how the flesh is ripped and jagged. Markings. Canine or even ursine, but human.
You're suggesting that someone chewed his spine out?
Yes. But with a jaw strength, well in excess of that of a normal human being.
Great, well, maybe we're looking for Dracula.
Ha-ha! Finally, son, you are opening your mind to new possibilities. But no, there are no vampires, sadly. But it'll be something exciting, I'm sure.
We have another monster on the loose?
No, sir. Walter says that the teeth marks are definitely human.
I can just about remember when a suspect being human was a given, not an option.
Bob Dunn's girlfriend said that he had a car, an Audi A4. It wasn't in the garage, and we couldn't find it when we did a two-block sweep.
Local PD is on it?
Now we could get lucky. Maybe the killer took it.
And Dr. Bishop?
He's at the lab with both bodies doing autopsies.
Okay. Well, let me know if you learn anything. Is there something else?
Now, this may sound impolitic, sir, but I was wondering if you were satisfied with your divorce attorney. I've heard you talking on the phone to your kids, but never to your wife.
I was satisfied, except for the bill.
I was wondering if I might be able to get the name and number.
Should be waiting in your inbox. I hope things work out for your sister. I pay attention to Agent Dunham.
Wow, I can't talk today. I keep tripping over my tongue here. Great scene with Dunham and Broyles. I like that scene. You know, we've built trust. We know that they have faith in one another, which is a big thing. But we never really get into the personal stuff. And I like the way that she comments on a divorce attorney and says that she notices he talks to his kids, but never his wife. So she just assumes that he's divorced. And when they're at the crime scene and she's talking to Peter. The problem is that her sister's husband has filed for divorce and is trying to get custody of the kids. And of course, she's kind of freaking out, you know. Well, he has filed for divorce. Later on, as the episode continues, she will get more information saying he's going to try to get custody of the kids, obviously just to rattle her. But just really, I kind of like that. And as much as the season goes on and we don't, I could care less about her sister. Because it, you know, you'll see because it that kind of fades away. And like I said, we focus on the core group. I like the fact that if it wasn't for that, she couldn't approach Broyles about his divorce attorney, which I think was an interesting little snippet. The next clip is Walter and Peter examining the body back at the lab.
Walter, that's enough.
When you finally meet a nice girl, I would avoid bringing her home for as long as possible. Walter, this is the lab work you requested on the victims.
Excellent. It may help us understand why their spinal columns have been completely drained with spinal fluid.
The killer took the victim's spinal fluid?
Hmm.
Why would they do that?
Where would the fun be if we already knew all there is to know? This is interesting. Traces of treponema pallidum. That's the syphilis bacteria. And the victim's neck and back. Most likely from the killer's saliva.
So the killer has syphilis?
Seems so.
Great. I should have worn gloves.
And what's even more fascinating, this particular strain of syphilis is extinct. Has been for decades.
Well, how could the killer be exposed to an extinct strain of syphilis?
See, isn't this fun?
Now, the next clip ties this case in with ZFT.
I appreciate the CDC's prompt response on this matter.
Of course. I ran an index search. A sample of that particular strain of syphilis was shipped out 4 weeks ago to Luboff Pharmaceuticals. They have a local address in Brighton.
Well, thank you, but a phone call would have sufficed.
Actually, I'm not sure that it would have, because their address is in a residential area. I took the liberty of running the rest of Luboff's research requests over the past few years. This isn't the first contagion they've ordered from us. In fact, there have been quite a few.
We need to show this to Broyles.
Any reputable scientist with the appropriate credentials can procure samples of bacteria and viruses for their research.
In addition to the extinct syphilis bacterium, Luboff Pharmaceuticals also procured a sample of a substance called RUD-390.
Which is?
A chemical compound used in the construction of bioweapons.
You're suggesting whoever's behind these killings may also be planning a biological attack?
Or has before. RUD-390 was one of the components of the rapid skin growth toxin that killed Agent Kent.
You're saying this is ZFT?
ZFT? What's that?
We believe ZFT is a terrorist organization, responsible for a number of bio attacks in the last year.
I see. Why? What is their agenda?
That's what we want to find out.
Assemble an assault squad. Move on Luboff.
Yes, sir.
Now the assault squad goes in and they find Nicholas Boone, played by Jefferson Mays, and I can't tell if it's a dog or a cat, but he is cutting the back of it open and doing some weird experiment and cutting it up with a saw. And they come in and they stop him and they capture him. Peter and Walter examine what's happening there, but in the meantime, they take Nicholas Boone back and they're questioning him. And the next clip is them questioning him.
What is out there doing this? What happened to these people?
How long have you been a follower of ZFT? That's right, Dr. Boone. We know about ZFT.
What do you know?
Enough to know that they're using the world as a testing ground for experiments. We want to know more about David Robert Jones, about who funds ZFT and why. We want to know what we're dealing with.
I don't have to spell that out for you, Dr. Boone. You talk to us, give us information, help us with whatever's out there killing people. It'll go better for you.
What is doing this? What have you done?
Someone was dosed.
With what?
Dosed with what?
I know a lot about the things you want. And more. And I'll answer your questions. But you have to help me first.
Help with what?
They have my wife. I want you to get her back.
So the team agrees, and they send out an assault squad to where he says his wife is being held. They break in, they go in, they do all their things, and they can't find their wife. Or can't find their wife. Can't find his wife. So what happens is that she calls, and she's like, you know, there's nothing here. This is a bunch of baloney, you know. This guy's lying. So Burroughs goes in and says, you know, to him, you know, what's going on? And he's like, let me talk to Dunham. And so reluctantly, Burroughs gives him the phone, and this is the exchange that they have.
Your wife isn't there.
I know that. I need to talk to Agent Dunham.
Dunham.
I'm putting him on.
Agent Dunham.
What the hell's going on?
There's a room in the back. Can you see it?
Yeah, we've checked. She's not there.
I know, but what I need is...
Okay, I'm here.
In front of you, you should see a row of refrigeration units. Third from the right.
Yeah, I see it.
Open it.
You know, I'm not going to do a thing until you tell me why we're here.
Oh, we're getting to that.
No, you tell me now.
Inside that cooling unit, you'll find a contagion of 5 vials marked XT43. The person who's out there killing has been dosed with this. I need it to make an antidote.
You lied to me?
No. Agent Dunham, they didn't kidnap my wife. They infected her.
That was my punishment for trying to leave ZFT.
It's she who's out there killing.
So I told you that Peter and Walter were investigating the laboratory. It's not really a laboratory. It's kind of like a room in this guy's house when they first caught him. And I have this sound clip. It doesn't really tie into like the overall arc, but I like this the clip between Walter and Peter. And so I wanted to include it because it, I don't know, I just really enjoyed it.
Personally, I like to use it as a mouthwash.
What did this guy create?
From what I've seen so far, I am forming a hypothesis. Would you care to hear it?
Well, I don't know. Would I ever be able to sleep at night again?
It depends.
Depends on what?
On whether the light is on or not.
So Dunham gets the virus that that he needs in order to make an antidote. And so they go in. And they sit down and they're having a conversation. She has a conversation with Nicholas Boone, and it shows him this video camera that she found, and you know, it's playing back the video of him and his wife at the park, you know, having, you know, a good time fooling around. And she's trying to obviously appeal to his emotional side and find out what it is that they need to do in order to stop this from happening.
Coat and rubber gloves. Valerie Boone. Valerie Boone, you turn March into June. That's
okay,
lovely.
That's all enough. Right. You be on camera.
No, I have
I
no.
Always do this.
I have no interest in being on camera.
Come
okay,
on,
we'll
you.
Both. All right.
Bye.
Hello.
Us in the park.
Okay. Look out. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's
no, no, no. That's not it. There we go. Oh my gosh! It looks like you ran in the chest.
That video was taken 3 weeks ago, Dr. Boone. Can you explain to me why you're in a wheelchair today?
She needs to feed. She can't control it. I began to feed her my own spinal fluid. The more I gave, the more she craved until I couldn't give any more. The contagion burns through her spinal fluid faster than her body can replace it. When she kills, it's simply to refuel. I tried to synthesize the antidote on my own,
watching her suffer the effects of being infected. But I couldn't do it. Not without a dose of the bacteria to work from. But for the rest of my life, this chair will remind me of what I've done.
Why would ZFT want you to create something like this?
To create a human nightmare. The syphilis was just a platform. Carrier for other attributes. Attributes that changed her.
For what purpose?
For the same reason they asked me to create the skin growth toxin. To show off.
To whom?
Other scientists. I mean, you mean nothing to them.
So how many vials were created? Just the ones that I took?
I made 6, now accounted for, but I can't guarantee they won't pick up where I left off.
If they did figure out how to make it, could they weaponize this bacteria?
You really don't know who you're dealing with. The answer for both of us is to let me make a cure. But now that you've recovered the dose samples, I can make it. My offer still stands. I'll tell you everything I know when you find her. If the cure works, we both win. Now I'll need access to a lab with a blood analyzer. I'll also need a spectroscope and a centrifuge. You might want to write this down.
That won't be a problem.
I love that ending clip when he's trying to explain what he needs, and she's like, yeah, it's not going to be a problem. So obviously what ends up happening is they put him and Walter together in Walter's lab and see if they can find a cure, find a way to not only cure his wife, but stop this from happening. And it is interesting because over this course of time, you know, in the episode, it's very limited time that we get to see those two interact. But it's interesting to see Walter interact with somebody who is his equal and they can have a conversation about things and also deal with the morality of what they do. And it's also interesting because, you know, Nicholas Boone, he's at this point, his direction is finding a cure for his wife. So we don't get to see like the evil side of Nicholas Boone. All we've seen during the course of this is a kind of a positive side, other than the whole sawing up the cat dog thing. So, you know, it's kind of the character grows on us in a very short period of time. Anyway, I'm going to play the clip when they come into the lab together. And Peter obviously has a few concerns about putting these two evil scientists together.
You really think it's a good idea to let him have free reign and Walter's Believe It or Not Emporium?
Owen, this is something my son, Peter, is working on. I haven't got the faintest idea what it is.
Your centrifuge is 20 years old.
Oh, 25. It's an oldie but a goodie. I also have a cow.
And just for the record, one mad scientist is my limit.
I think that having him help Walter is our best chance at saving lives. Dunham.
It's Charlie. We found Bob Dunn's missing car.
Where?
Clear across town, Mission Hill. It's completely stripped. Quarter panels, radio, everything.
The GPS?
No, it's gone.
We got no way to track where he picked up Boone's wife.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
Good news, Peter. Nicholas and I are in agreement about this penicillin.
Yes, we need to purify the mold, then ferment it.
To the highest possible concentration. Agent Farnsworth, we're going to need a rat.
Can you call me if something else turns up? Okay, bye.
Great news. They made a breakthrough. They're going to fight the super syphilis with super penicillin. Syphilis with the platform. If they can kill the syphilis, they can stop the contagion.
They did the same thing once against super pneumonia.
Right. Well, Charlie just found Dunn's car stripped in Mission Hill.
Excellent. He checked the GPS?
Stolen.
Well, everything stolen is not necessarily lost.
Meaning what?
Meaning, if there's a car found stripped in the greater Boston area, I can guarantee you my man Mako has his big toe in it.
Oh, you have a friend who runs a chop shop?
Yeah. You make that sound so illegal.
So again, Peter's past, or sketchy past, comes back to help them. They're able to go to the chop shop, and Olivia meets the guy that runs it, and he explains to them where they found the car. They couldn't get the GPS because it's been wiped, but they found where the car was at, you know, where they stole the car from, and they find the victim's body there. In the meantime, Walter is working on a cure. and Walter and Nicholas, they think they synthesized what they need, and they've injected it into the rat, and unfortunately, it does not work. The rat ends up dying.
I don't understand. Something's wrong. Something's missing. The rat's body has rejected the cure. Perhaps a protein incompatibility.
No, it's not that. I know what's wrong. The contagion required cerebral spinal fluid as a catalyst, and the cure must require some as well.
Bond the cure to the contagion.
Yes, and the only spinal fluid we know for a fact is compatible is my own.
Well, no, that's out of the question. It's too dangerous. If you lose more spinal fluid, it could cause a brain hemorrhage.
No, I was very careful to monitor the amount of fluid I removed. Another 25 milliliters should be safe.
Walter, we can't.
Well, we have no other choice.
Walter?
Prep the table, Agent Farnsworth.
Thank you.
So they end up using his spinal fluid to synthesize a cure. And in the meantime, Peter and Olivia are out trying to find his wife. And they go to a club and they use a some kind of device that has a screen on it that they can read her body heat, you know, signature. And they're able to track her down and stop her. And they're trying to bring her back to the lab so they can administer the cure. In the meantime, Nicholas starts to go into, he's on the bed. I'm not sure if it's cardiac, not cardiac arrest. Something starts happening to him, and him and Walter have this exchange.
You lied to me. You let me take too much spinal fluid.
How far would you go for someone you love?
And of course, that's something that kind of gets to Walter, because he can understand going above and beyond to try to say to save somebody that you love. As we'll see as the series progresses, you know, this is a thread that kind of goes through the entire series. What Walter's willing to do to try to save his son. Next, they bring her in and they administer the cure, and the two are side by side. Husband and wife are side by side on gurneys. And clearly, Nicholas is dying, and his wife is kind of crazy when they administer the cure. She kind of goes nuts.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, now what?
Now we wait.
Walter?
No, let her.
She is alive. You can see her. We look at her eyes as they change color back to her normal color. And so as far as we know, the cure has worked and she is better. But in the next clip, Nicholas passes away right next to her on the gurney. And I'm just going to play the clip.
Walter.
Dr. Boone asked me to give this to you personally, Agent Dunham.
What is it, Walter?
What Walter gives her is a videotape, and we're going to get to that in a second, but I just want to point out that the music and everything works really good in that scene, because obviously Walter is a little upset, not only because a man died, but it was somebody that he was relating to, somebody that could understand science the way that he can understand it. So, you know, a compadre, basically, you know, somebody that, you know, he could have an actual conversation with, and you know, they had a couple of conversations about the morals of what they were doing. And, you know, during, of course, one of those conversations, of course, they discussed, you know, their souls and, you know, how they would save their soul. And you know, Walter's point of view was that, you know, they weren't dead yet. So they could make up for anything that they had done. You know, they were working to both working towards redemption. And I think part of the reason that Walter is so somber is that here's a man who was trying to do that. He realized the error of his ways, but now he'll never have the opportunity to get that redemption because, you know, he died before he had that opportunity. The only redemption he had would, you know, be saving his wife from a virus that he helped to create. Anyway, let's get to the tape.
Agent Dunham, if you're watching this, I suspect I didn't make it. But you and I had a bargain, and you held up your end. Now, I have made many mistakes in my life, but in the end, I should at least be a man of my word. And I promised you answers. With any luck, you will use them to rectify some of my misdeeds. Now, in the time I worked with ZFT, I never dealt with anyone of significant rank within the movement. But I was able to gather some names, including some I suspect you've already heard of.
So in kind of a weird scene, Olivia shows up at a bar where Broyles is at, and they have this exchange.
Nicholas Boone talked. He told us everything he knew about ZFT.
Did he mention David Robert Jones?
No. He said he'd never heard of him. But he did mention another name that we've heard before. According to Boone, the man who's funding ZFT is William Bell.
So that's kind of a big revelation because we haven't seen William Bell. We're not sure if he's good or bad or what's going on. So I thought that that was kind of a big revelation, at least when you're watching this for the first time. The glyphs for the episode spell out 8. Not sure what that means, but that's what they spell out. The Observer passes behind somebody in a nightclub as he gets ready to walk out onto the floor, and I have a screenshot of that. Lots of music in this particular episode, mostly because we have a lot of club scenes with a lot of dance music. You know, one of the better known songs is Discipline by Nine Inch Nails, but there's a lot of music there. But, you know, a good scene as far as characters are concerned. I really enjoyed the stuff with Walter and him finding somebody his equal he can have a conversation with. But overall, more of a puzzle piece episode where we're kind of putting things together and we're focusing. Now we're going to start focusing on William Bell, and we're going to find out that that's going to have some ramifications in the next couple of episodes. The next episode especially, where there's a couple of really big reveals. Anyway, the episode was titled Midnight. It was episode 18. We have 2 left for season 1. This aired on April 28th, 2009. And that's it. Hey, guess what else is coming out in the UK that I have never seen before now? And that is The Equalizer. The complete series is coming out on DVD, and it is going to be £90, which is a little pricey because I think that there's only 3 seasons of this. But God, did I love that show when it was on TV. I tried very hard not to miss an episode, and as I was letting some of the fringe play through, I'm sitting here searching the DVDs coming up, and the Equalizer, that is awesome. I hope we get a U.S. release. Maybe we already have one and I just missed it. It's possible. Because I don't know if you knew or not, but I don't have any DVDs, so I need to buy some. Anyway, that is about all that I really have. The only thing I wanted to comment on is I am, I'm not a big collector when it comes to, like figures and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, I gave away all my comics. So I'm trying to streamline. But I figure that if there's something that I see that I like, that is not, you know, there's not a million of them. Because the thing is once you start collecting something, and then it, you know, it builds and builds and builds. Next thing you know, you have clutter everywhere, you know. And I don't really want to have clutter. I want to have less clutter. So not a huge collector of figures and stuff like that, but I really do enjoy looking at them. So, you know, I always check out Sideshow Collectibles. They have the Hot Toys action figures, which run about $300. They have several Iron Man from the Iron Man movie. They have Iron Patriot, they have War Machine, and they have an Iron Man one that's a little different than a regular Iron Man. And all these figures are just fantastic. They're cast metal, and they come with all kind of LEDs and stuff, and they're fully posable, articulated. Always have looked at them and always wanted to see one up close and personal. And these things, usually what happens is there's a pre-order, and once the pre-order's up, they're usually never in the store. Like, you can get on the waiting list, but usually they go pretty quick. And, you know, you figure at the price they're asking, you know, if you're going to collect these, it's going to be one a year, unless you're really super wealthy. And I don't really care about the regular figures, but the Iron Man ones definitely have me intrigued. It's something that I'm really looking at. And it was funny because I've been looking at these for months now, months and months and months and months. And I like to go and look at the pictures and see what they've done. And if nothing else, I'm just really jealous of the guy that gets to photograph these, because he does a pretty good job. If you go and look at the photographs, I mean, take into account the background and everything else. And I thought that'd be an awesome job to have, to be photographing these metal articulated figures that look real to life. So after I've been looking at these, we're going to be going to Disney for a vacation. And I thought, well, it would be really cool if I went to Disney and they had one of these in the store. Because if they do, I'm just going to buy it. I have so much money set aside for vacation. I was just like, the heck with it. If I see it, that's going to be my thing. If I see it, I'm just going to buy it. And so after I've been looking at these and looking at the War Machine one and the Iron Patriot one, which are the two that I really like, War Machine is one of my favorite characters. And so I definitely would like that one. But the Iron Patriot one with the paint job really has me intrigued because it looks really good. Pat Loika, who does a couple of podcasts and goes to all the cons, he posted something on Facebook saying, look what arrived today. And he has one of the, it must have been from Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 1. It is the original Iron Man suit, you know, the all metal one that wasn't painted. And he has it on display and it's all lit up. And so I sent a message. I said, hey, I said, you know, this is a Hot Toys, you know, is this, are they really worth it? And he's like, yep, every penny. And so I'm like, oh my God, I want one of these so bad. So if you have one of these, I'd like to know your thoughts and opinion. You don't have to send it to the show. You can just send it to me. And I'm just curious as to what you think. I mean, I know that they're a horrendous amount of money when you think about it, but at the same point in time, you know, if you don't collect anything else, why not invest some money in your collectibles? And I'm really intrigued with these, really intrigued. And like I said, I would love to. When I'm looking at these, I'm thinking, man, I can think of all the photographic possibilities with these figures. But I'm thinking it over. They do have multiple payment plans where since you're pre-ordering it so far in advance, because I think that the Iron Patriot doesn't come out till November and War Machine is February. So you have many, many months. And so, you know, the reality is you break that payment down and that's how they do it. I mean, there's not like a finance thing. You just sign up for the payment and then they charge your card whatever date you tell them, you know, once a month until it's paid for. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'd like to see what else is out there and like to see one up close and personal, but man, they look pretty cool. And I'd love to be able to photograph something like that. That'd be pretty outstanding. Other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot. I started a couple of books. I always have a couple of books going, but especially when I'm getting ready to go on vacation, I always like to load some books up on my device so that I have something to read. And, so I have a couple of books that, I'm perusing, and one of them is called Zombies and Shit, and it's really interesting. It's kind of like the Hunger Games with zombies, and I just have not had enough time to read it because I have so many other things I'm reading at one time. But I'm probably 50 or 60 pages in, and I've been reading it from time to time whenever I'm standing in line somewhere or something, and I just really am loving this, and I will give you a full review of it when I do finish that book. But anyway, that's all that I have to say, I think. So I will talk to everybody next time, and hopefully I will be able to avoid delays in the future, although there will be a bit of a break there when I go on vacation. That's not for a while yet. But other than that, I'm happy that everybody took the time to download and listen. I will talk to everybody next time. This is Aaron for the Sci-Fi Dig Podcast. Over and out.